then if we're in the mood of philosophy, I actually prepared three articles that I wrote. I think these ideas in those articles are very essential to me.
Can you read us one of your articles? Do you have anything on hand?
One philosophy class, I think in some way changed my life. And the professor, it's a philosophy from in India. Because the professor just presented Indian philosophy like very well, and because it's so different from Western philosophy and the kind of philosophy I was constantly doing in my own mind. I want to share with you this article. I wrote this a few months ago to that professor. It was already 2 years late after I took the class with him. It was also kind of dialogue. I want to present to him my own understanding of Indian philosophy, which might be the same as his, but might be slightly different. I want to read you this article, but some concepts you guys may not be able to grasp it right now. This will actually prepare with the program some two articles I call Introduction to Indian Philosophy. I explain some of the essential ideas of Indian philosophy there. But now I want to read you guys this article. Dear Professor Sri Kumar, as a former student of yours, I have been struggling with the philosophical ideas that you brilliantly presented in your Indian philosophy class. I remember during that semester, I found myself struggling to make sense of those ideas such as suffering, renunciation, and enlightenment, because seemingly they sharply contradict my experience of reality. That struggle was partly due to my ignorance in philosophy. However, I also had the feeling that my dissatisfaction would not cease by merely studying other people's thoughts. Is it because philosophy cannot be possibly satisfactory? Or should I act upon my dissatisfaction and discover a new territory in philosophy for myself? The only way to answer both questions is to write. I have to at least figure out what that exact thing is inside me which is preventing me from being satisfied. This discovery itself is more valuable than any answer I can possibly seek. The work is in progress. My findings are still partial and flawed. However, I want to present to you a brief and modest report on my raw ideas, partly inspired by Indian philosophy, wishing for criticism and help. The idea of nirvana is based upon the assumption that consciousness is potentially independent of properties. Although some Buddhist thinkers reject the idea of Atman or Brahman, they still agree that an accurate and complete description of reality cannot be given with properties alone. Therefore, they introduce the idea of emptiness, creating the dynamics between properties and emptiness, which exactly resembles the assumption that consciousness can be potentially independent of properties. The dynamics has a single direction. The unidirectional movement is characterized by phrases such as suffering, renunciation, and enlightenment. Ideas that bear preferences indicate movement. Preferences and movement are embedded in the dynamics between samsara and nirvana. The metaphor of boat figuratively implies that unidirectional movement from one shore towards the other. Similar unidirectional movement can be found in other cultural and philosophical traditions, such as the duality of truth and falsehood, or the journey from sins to salvation. The criteria of judgment used to distinguish one from the other embed preferences, initiate the movement, and define its direction. For Indian philosophers, the movement between samsara and nirvana is spontaneous. the practitioner achieves enlightenment willingly. This spontaneity is based upon the assumption that consciousness is potentially independent of progress. Let me drink a little water.
I'm really giving a speech now. This spontaneity is based upon the assumption that consciousness is potentially independent of problems. That potential independence allows consciousness to be quote-unquote spontaneous, assuming that reality can be described by properties alone, spontaneity will be replaced by determinism. Spontaneity implies a movement without any direction. Therefore, I propose that spontaneity exists before the dynamics between samsara and nirvana, instead of being its product or implication. Nirvana does not initiate a movement, but only imposes a direction. Therefore, that quote-unquote unidirectional movement is different from spontaneity itself. Spontaneity seems to be the essence of Atman or Brahman. In fact, Hinduism is always struggling to explain away the duality of stillness and movement. If the ultimate foundation of reality is still and colorless, what can possibly set the world in motion and make it so tasty? For me, the only solution to this puzzle is to admit that Atman, Brahman, is spontaneous. Spontaneity should be distinguished from the laws of causation. Spontaneity is the potential to initiate movement, but not a chain of causes and consequences. Spontaneity cannot be explained while causation is totally rational. Spontaneity is not quote-unquote free will because it cannot be defined by choice-making situations. Spontaneity can only be understood in apophenic ways, such as the following. One, spontaneity can willingly accept or deny any criteria of judgment, regardless of how rational they might seem, because its potential to initiate movement exists before rationality. Rationality is the potential that criteria of judgment can be constructed. Three, consciousness can choose to be independent of properties or abandon independence. Four, spontaneity is not a quote-unquote watcher, but the potential to watch. Five, spontaneity is not a quote-unquote participant, but the potential to participate and retreat from participation. Six, consciousness can willingly choose to be drunk. Seven, spontaneity does not cease in drunkenness. Eight, spontaneity is the potential to initiate movement in any direction, anywhere between the extreme conscious state and the extreme unconscious state. Nine, in great works of art, we experience the deepest excitement in the purest tranquility. 10. In great works of art, we experience the purest tranquility in complete madness. 11. Philosophy has the potential to achieve that. 12. Meditation is an experience of both tranquility and excitement. 13. However, as meditation is directional, it promotes tranquility and represses excitement. 14. Therefore, in the deepest state of meditation, we experience total sobriety and devastating depression at the same time. 15. In that confusing duality, we realize the source, which is spontaneity. 16. Another name for spontaneity is musicality. 17. Most works of philosophy up until now are highly directional, yet barely moving. 18. Philosophy is barely alive. 19. Philosophy does not advance. All this water is still the best thought in human history. 20. The Greek philosophers are highly spontaneous. Their philosophy is largely a product of imagination. 21. great philosophers listen to their heart as much as they listen to their mind. In ancient Chinese, the heart and the mind are the same word. 22, my ambition is to reinvent philosophy. 23, philosophy is a genre of art. 24, all philosophical ideas are empty frames. Great philosophers can set them on fire. 25, samsara is nirvana because consciousness has the potential to be independent of progress. Nirvana is samsara because consciousness has the potential to abandon the independence. Samsara is samsara because properties are dead without spontaneity. Nirvana is nirvana because enlightenment is nothing more than a direction. 26. The only reason why I am not satisfied with philosophy is that the entire universe is alive. Yes, all is alive. Philosophy is like the dance of Salome. I hear the princess of Judea cry out, "Give me the head of Yochanan." That's it. Thank you. Thank you.